this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Okay, hi everybody. No, that's cool. I just was asked to testify about relationship, which I'm in, and I'm advancing pretty well. I'm just going to start from the beginning. When I was 13, I got saved by Jesus Christ, yep. And, a lot of stuff changed in my life. Like, my family went broke, so that kind of sucked. And, but I knew that, you know, there was now this new God in my life, which wasn't money. When I was 15, a friend introduced me to pornography, and it was pretty hectic. I was addicted until I was 18, and when I was 19, I decided to join a missions group at a church. There I met a friend who was also going through a pornography addiction, and the cool thing was, well, not cool, but cool, he was the pastor's son, so it was like, it's not just me, you know. We prayed each other through it, and by the grace of God, like 3 months later, which was amazing because I was addicted for 3 years, I was completely off pornography, and like, it really messed up my mind about what women are like and what that, like, the women aren't objects. Like, you don't just watch them on a screen. Like, they're around you, and God has a purpose for them as well. Being addicted to pornography really messed up my relationship with the women in my life, including my mother and my sister and my cousins and everybody, because I didn't have the right understanding of what God has planned for women in each other's lives, like as brothers and sisters. Once I got that sorted out, I decided, okay, cool, I probably need to get a girlfriend. I started pursuing like a lot of girls in church. I knew I wanted a godly girl, godly lady, woman. Then I started pursuing these goals, and like time after time, it really failed, like epically. And like, it took me a while to get over the rejections and stuff, but eventually, like, I did. And then I joined Shofar, and funny enough, it was about a girl. But the cool thing was that when I joined Shofar, God really revealed to me, and He said, like, you are going to meet your wife here. And I think that was a big pull into Shofar. And my eyes were quite close to God's plan for who this wife is. I was very, like, focused on getting a wife and not getting a friend first. I started pursuing this girl in church, and 2 months down the line, God was saying constantly, no, 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 focus on me, no, don't do it, focus on me. And eventually that also failed. I got rejected, and it was really tough. Like, it was really hard because God gave me all these promises, you know, you meet your wife and everything's going to be cool, but it's not this girl. So like the week after this girl rejected me, I went to God and I was like, Lord, like, I really want a wife. Like, I really, really would like a wife, please. And then, like, God was just asking me, I have a wife for you, but how am I supposed to give you a wife if you haven't even received me fully and completely? And I don't believe that everybody can receive God fully, because that would just blow us up. I just prayed the one night, and I was like, Lord, like, okay, I'm willing to give you until I'm 30. And this was when I was 20, so you get how desperate I was. I just sat down with God, and I was like, Lord, like, I'm willing to wait until I'm 30, but from onwards, like, really, you need to make a plan. Nevertheless, I joined the missions group at church. We were going to go on missions last year. And in the meantime, I started chatting to my current fiance. It was... oh, sorry, no. My fiance. actually Theo. There's still grace. She still loves me. Yeah. And like in meeting her and stuff, like I could see that this girl really likes me, and I was like, yeah, I have eyes. Yeah, but like I was completely focused on like what God had in mind for me on missions and stuff, and it was the first time where I was completely God focused and just like on the side, like God really honors faith and he really honors you following him first before you start following a girl or a boy for the girls' cases. And like, yeah, God really honors that, and like he really revealed to me a lot about love. Like what is love? Like God, you know, you hear a lot, God is love, but you never really experience it until you give your love to him as well. Like, and you are willing to receive his love first before you're willing to receive it from a girl or a boy. And in this time, like, I was like completely not rejecting, but I was definitely not focusing on Kate busy giving me winks and smiles and stuff. And then, yeah, just before missions, like, I was at church, and then one of the other ladies in church, she testified about how she met her husband and how romantic it was and everything like this. And like, it really stirred in my heart. I was like, Lord, like, I want my own romantic story. I don't want to just meet someone and then it's like, you carry on. Like, I really want something cool and cute, whatever. And then, I'll get back to the cute part now. yeah. And then we went on missions and I spoke to one of the husband actually of this lady who testified. And then he just said, like, dude, missions is for God. It's not for looking for a wife. Yeah, and then I went to missions, was completely focused on God and stuff, and the cool thing was that Kate was going through exactly the same thing as I was. Like, God was revealing to her stuff about love and life and a husband. Oh yeah, let's just roll back 2 years. I'm just going to testify for Kate a bit, yeah? we'll get to the relationship seminar or later. The cool thing about what I said about like God honors faith and honors you seeking him first is that he starts revealing little things to you and you don't know what these little things are. But to Kate, she actually got a complete description of what I was going to look like, what I studied. She knew exactly the shirt that I would be wearing, which is this jersey, the night that we met. Okay. Yeah, it's cute. And all I got was, like, my dad gave a prophecy to me once, so he was like, Kieran, she's going to have long brown hair and brown, brown eyes. And I didn't see it at first, but later I figured it out, and I was like, oh, cool. yeah, and then after missions, like, God completely said, okay, cool, you can go ahead. And I was confused because it was like, okay, I said 30, not 30 days. And then it was really cool because I understood that God saw my heart. He saw that I was giving my all to him. He saw that I was seeking him and his kingdom first. And I was finding my delight in him so that he could give me my heart's desires. And my heart's biggest desire was a wife. And it should have been pleasing his kingdom and pleasing him first. And he honored that. And then we can skip a few things. But the end point is that my first relationship week, I was single. Second one, I was dating. Third one, I'm engaged. The fourth one, I'm going to be married.
Thanks, Kieran. It's good to see so many of you here again tonight. Just before we carry on, I'd just like us to bow our heads and let's just pray before we get back into the session. Father, we want to thank you this evening that we can be here again in your presence, Lord. Lord, thank you for your goodness towards us and just the knowledge in our hearts, Lord, that you desire godly relationships, Lord. God, that you have a plan and a purpose for every one of us here, Lord, that you haven't forgotten anyone, Lord. You know us by name, and we're not here by accident tonight, God. We're here because you've purposed and planned for us to be here, Lord. God, we choose to open our hearts to receive from you. And we pray that Holy Spirit, you come and inspire us, come and teach us, Come and show us your ways, Lord God. We want to build and invest into our marriages that lay ahead of us, Lord God, into the relationships that we will still pursue, even if right now, God, our desire is just to know you, God. We just want to build those solid foundations. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you come and breathe on every word I speak, God. I pray that the words I speak will bring life to all who hear, God, that you will open the hearts of every person, God, not to hear my words, but to hear your words, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Who was here last night? Who's here for the first time tonight? Great stuff. Welcome to all of you. Last night, Janetta spoke to the guys, but also a little bit to the ladies about what a girl wants. And I think she did pretty well, even if I have to say so myself, for the first time that she spoke like that. And tonight I'm going to speak what a guy wants. And some of you are going to walk out here depressed. And some of you are going to be upset. Because the standard is pretty high. And I don't make an apology for that. Because I really don't want anybody here, whether a guy or a girl, to settle for second best. Anything less than God has for you. And as Tanya testified last night, you know, God has got more than you could ever imagine if you're just willing to do it His way. So it's really easy to know what a guy wants. If you've got a game farm, then you're waxed. If not a game farm, then maybe a beach house is an okay second prize. But a game farm is a good start. I think something that's really important that we've tried to bring across this week throughout the sessions that we've been doing is that there's two ways of approaching a relationship. There's a way where you come and the question in your heart that you're asking is, who's going to be the best husband or the best wife for me? Who's the best boyfriend or the best girlfriend for me? I want to get the best person that God has prepared for me. The flip side of the coin is to just change our heart and our attitude in a little bit to say, I want to be the best husband or the best wife. I want to be the best boyfriend or the best girlfriend. And I know that God says that with the same measure that I give, it will be given back to me. And if I give in the way to be the best to my future spouse, then God's going to honor that and I'm going to reap the best from my future spouse. And I want to encourage you, some of us maybe this evening, to make that mind shift to say, yes, God, I'm looking for the best, but more than that, God, I want to be the best. So God, build into me to be the best possible husband or wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, fiancé for my partner as we go forward. Some of you are going to be very upset with me tonight, but it's okay. Because I'm going to speak straight. And if you're upset with me or with what I say, that's fine, you're welcome to. But if you're upset with what the word says, then you're going to have to go home and sort that out with God yourself. Because Scripture, interestingly, doesn't say so much about what a girl wants. Have you guys noticed that? Annette had to look really deep to find stuff that the guy should be. Because the guy should just be godly. That's a trick enough already in the world we are today. The guy should be someone who's following Jesus with everything that he has. And once he starts following Jesus with everything that he has, then the rest will fall into place. Us guys are a bit more stupid, so God has to give us a lot more information in Scripture. Okay? He has to give us a lot more guidelines. And this evening I'm going to read a couple of those passages for us of the guidelines that God does give us. Because Janetta tried to say it, but she's too nice to say it to the guys. So before I get to what a guy wants, I just want to say to the guys that girls are not looking for a sweet, sensitive best friend. Am I right, girls? They've got enough good friends. If they've got someone that they want to be deep and sensitive to and kind of speak about all the deep things in life, they'll speak to their girlfriends. They're looking for a man to be a man. So guys, man up. Just as a bit of encouragement for you guys that are feeling all stressed out because you want to get deep and you want to sit and speak long hours to her. Yes, there's a place for chatting, but there's a place for just being a man. Okay. And on Monday night and Tuesday night, you got a very good dose of emotional people and very romantic people who write 14-page letters. You know? And it's great. There's a place for that. And there's a need for that. And as guys, we need to be romantic. But at the same time, we don't need to be fake. Let's just be guys. Okay, but I'll speak more about that a little bit later. So what does a guy want? A couple of scriptures. The first one in Genesis, which is always the best place to start. If you're looking at any biblical doctrine, start in Genesis. It'll be in Genesis if there's truth in it. If it's not in Genesis, you can just ignore it. But I'm being serious when I say that as well. There's a whole bunch of stuff floating through church. And if you want to know if it's a godly or biblical thing, just ask yourself, can I find this somewhere in Genesis? If it's not in Genesis, the chances are you're wasting your time reading up about it. Genesis 2 verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good. Do you guys remember this from Sunday night? It's not good. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not good. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Some ladies are going to be upset with me tonight, and some guys are going to be upset with me tonight, and as I said, I'm really comfortable with you being unhappy with me. Girls, what a guy wants and needs in life more than anything is a helper. Somebody who's willing to come alongside on the same level, comparable on the same level. In other words, you can compare the two. They're of the same type, of the same quality. But he's looking for somebody who can come alongside him to be a partner in his life and in his purpose and in his passion. That doesn't by any means, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you must give up your dreams and your passions. I'm not saying you must give up your hopes. But I am saying that it's really important that you can buy into the dreams and the passions of the guy. Because more than anything, that is what he needs and what he wants, is someone to pursue life with together. A partner in his life, a partner and a helper in his purpose. The two of you as one team working together going forward, because the two become one flesh. Okay. So let's just put that right there. What does he want? He wants a helper. A godly man wants what God wants. That's just the way that is. If you're following Jesus, then you want to have what God says is best. And Kieran spoke about it, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So, a godly man should want in your life what God wants to happen in your life too. So what is the best way to position yourself for a godly man? It's by you pursuing God. A godly man should want what God wants and like what God likes. And there are certain things that Scripture says very much that God wants and God likes in a woman. And a godly man should want those same things. So a couple of things that a man doesn't and hopefully shouldn't want. The first one is contention or attitude. I had a friend, a couple of years older than me, still a bachelor. And he said to me one day, you know what he really wants? He wants a woman with attitude. And Lucille looked him in the eyes and said, are you stupid? The last thing that a guy wants is a woman with attitude towards him. Let's just speak here. He's speaking about a relationship here. You can be a strong woman. Yanetta said last night, the first time I met her parents, I can't even remember exactly where it was. I think I went to Bloemfontein to meet her parents. And that night, her mom looked at her dad and said, she's going to marry this guy. The first time the parents met me. For the simple reason, it was the first time in their life that they'd seen Yanetta with a guy who she wasn't contentious with. Everything I said, she didn't want to fight about. Before that, every time there was a guy in her life, she was contentious. She was fighting. She had her point of view. She wanted to bring her point of view across forcefully. And something just happened in our relationship. I've never experienced her that way. I've never experienced her, praise the Lord, as a contentious woman, as a woman with attitude. Proverbs 21 verse 9. It's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house or a mansion with a contentious woman. The message says, better to live alone in a Tumbletown shack than share a mansion with a nagging spouse. Proverbs 21 verse 19. It's better to dwell in wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. And my favorite one about this, Proverbs 27 verse 15 to 16. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind. In other words, it can't be done, and grasps oil with his right hand. Anyone ever try to catch a handful of oil? He says, that's the same chance you have of restraining a contentious woman. Guys, if a girl is always wanting to fight and always wanting to be difficult, just say, it's really nice knowing you, you're a good buddy. But don't ever let your heart go out there, because scripture says, you're being stupid. Okay? You want to think of marriage water torture, you know? Drip, 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 drip. In the same way Janetta said last night, and she fumbled it a little bit, but I'll help her out tonight. A woman marries a man thinking he will change, but he doesn't. A man marries a woman thinking she won't change, but she does. I remember I was at a wedding once, a very, very good friend of mine, and Pastor Fred was preaching, and he said to the guy, you know, Jock, the husband, he said, Jock, you're a lucky guy. You don't realize this now, but every man who's in your shoes right now, today, to you, when you're marrying, you think you're marrying Esther, this woman. The truth is you're not. You're marrying at least five different women. Because she's been a certain way up to now, you got engaged, she changed a little bit. Tomorrow morning when you wake up and she's a married woman, she's going to be different. Then a little bit later, the children come, and guess what? You've got a new wife all over again. And then a couple of years later, menopause starts setting in and you've got a new wife. The great thing is, us as men have been made to be explorers. We love exploring something new and a new challenge. But you don't need to explore a different woman to explore a different woman. Because your wife is going to be morphing all the time. You're always trying to figure her out. But stay away from a contentious woman. There are certain things that will change, but there are certain things that Scripture says, if these are not in place, don't go there. Contention and attitude is one of them. Okay, that's the first one I wanted to put there. The second one, because for some reason, some people in church think this is cool and this is godly, so I'm just going to quote a whole bunch of scriptures here just to completely smash this mindset. There is absolutely nothing godly or nice about immorality. Proverbs 2 says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. And it says a couple of things will happen because of this wisdom and knowledge in your heart. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her path to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the path of life. Strong words. We're going to see now Scripture speaks a lot about an immoral woman. I didn't even put them all up there. But there's a reason Scripture has to tell us guys all the time about staying away from this immoral woman. Because our carnal self, for some reason, gets drawn to this. And Scripture says, don't go there. We'll see that now. He says in as many words. Proverbs 5 verse 1 says, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey. Just as an aside here, one of the signs of an immoral woman is what's coming out of her lips. Both passages here spoke about flattery. The one spoke about the seductress. What did it say? To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. In Proverbs 5 it says, for the lips of an immoral woman drip honey. Her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life. Her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. And you say, how I have hated instruction and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? Strong words. And there's a reason Scripture holds these strong words before us. There's unmarried and married people. There's no bigger thing that keeps people out of relationship with God than unholy relationships. Women persuading men and men seducing women. Be very aware of the Scripture. It's so clear. Verse 8 there. Just if you can scroll back there quickly, Tanya. I just want to read that again. Therefore, hear me now, my children. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Guys, if there's an immoral woman and you're attracted to her for whatever reason, bring that before God and say, God, deliver me of this evil. Go read this again. There's Proverbs 5. And what's going to happen? You're going to, says your wealth is going to be handed out to aliens. Your labors will go to the house of a foreigner. You mourn. Your flesh and your body will be consumed. Please don't misunderstand me. All women are like, not like this. This is not what I'm saying. I'm saying an immoral woman. What is an immoral woman? A woman who is sexually active outside of marriage. That doesn't only mean intercourse. A woman who's flirty. A woman who's using her sexuality to seduce. And guys, I even want to say to you, go to forest and say, Scripture says, it says here, do not even go near the door of her house. What am I saying there? Don't try and evangelize to her. Don't try and minister to her. Don't think you're not going to get this adulterous woman, this sexually woman, this immoral woman, you're going to get her saved. You're not. Pray for her and pray for a lady friend who's going to come and minister to her. Because all she's going to do is she's going to pull you down. If she doesn't pull your pants down first. Okay? In the Message translation, it says that same passage in Proverbs 5. I just want to read us that same passage just from the Message. And it says, the lips of a seductive woman are oh so sweet. Her soft words are oh so smooth. But it won't be long before she's gravel in your mouth, a pain in your gut, a wound in your heart. She's dancing down the primrose path to death. She's headed straight to hell and taking you with her. She hasn't a clue about real life, about who she is or where she's going. So my friend, listen closely. Don't treat my words casually. Keep your distance from such a woman. Absolutely stay out of her neighborhood. You don't want to squander your wonderful life, to waste your precious life among the hard-hearted. Why should you allow strangers to take advantage of you? Why be exploited by those who care nothing of you? You don't want to end your life full of regrets, nothing but sin and bones, saying, oh, why didn't I do what they told me? Why did I reject a disciplined life? Why didn't I listen to my mentors or take my teachers seriously? My life is ruined. I haven't one blessed thing to show for my life. Do you know the saying, drink from your own barrel, draw water from your own spring-fed well? It's true. Otherwise, you may one day come home and find your barrel empty and your well polluted. Your spring water is for you and you only, not to be passed around among strangers. Bless your fresh flowing fountain. Enjoy the wife of you married as a young man, lovely as an angel, beautiful as a rose. Don't ever quit taking delight in her body. Never take her love for granted.
Why would you trade enduring intimacies for cheap thrills with the whore, for dalliance with a promiscuous stranger? A guy doesn't want an immoral woman. So girls, if you here and that's been your way of attracting a little bit of attention, I'm not saying it is, but if it has been, go home and trust God to bring healing there. Know that a godly man, who is a real godly man, who desires a thing of God that's the biggest turn off possible for him, is an immoral woman. Another thing a guy doesn't want is he doesn't want a mother. He doesn't want a sister. He doesn't want a psychiatrist. He doesn't want a school teacher. Don't try and be his mommy or his sister, his psychiatrist. Don't try and fix him because you can't. If he's broken, then you leave him and you allow God to fix him. You cannot fix anybody. As I said just now, the guy marries the woman thinking she's not going to change, and she is. The woman marries the guy thinking he is going to change, but he doesn't. You don't marry potential. I said it last year, I want to say it again. I even want to say you don't go out with potential. Yes, there is potential. Yes, you see potential in him. But until the character has developed, you don't go out with potential of character. Let me put it that way. Until his character has developed to a place where you're happy with him now as he is now, you don't go out with him as he is now. Because you have no guarantee that he is going to change. And if you try and change him, I promise you it's not going to work. The one thing that will irritate him more than anything else, because he'll experience that as a contentious woman. And us as men, we're built in, it's built into us to have an aversion to contentious women. So a woman starts nagging and starts wanting to change you, a guy's immediate reaction is to start closing the door and say, no, go to the kitchen, you know. Because our response is, get out of my space. And that's when we start getting rude and we start getting difficult. You can't change a guy, woman. Okay? Make a peace with that. If you don't like him as he is, then you don't like him. So don't go out with him. Find somebody you do like. Don't stick with a guy you don't like. Because, I don't know, that just doesn't make sense. Okay. So what does a guy want? I'm going to read two passages here that Scripture speaks about a godly woman. And then we're going to try and break them down a little bit and just see a couple of things that Scripture holds there. What does a guy want? Who can find, Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands by the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. He says to her, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. I told you, it's a high standard. It's very high. We're going to look at that a little bit later, because let me just say right at the beginning, no one here is going to be perfect in any of these areas. So don't get moodaloos and walk out halfway because you just want to give up. We'll speak about a little bit later about how that works. So that's the one passage we're going to look at. The other passage is found in 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Verse 7 there is one of those impossible commandments that God gives us. Dwell with them with understanding. He's saying, just pray all the time because you need it. The only way you're going to understand is that the Holy Spirit enlightens you. Make a peace with that, guys. But at the same way, understand that if you don't live with an attitude of esteeming her higher than yourself, if you don't live with an attitude of lifting her up, verse 7 says, a place where you're giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, your prayers will be hindered. In a sense, God turns a deaf ear to the prayers of the man who doesn't treat his wife with respect. I want to hold that before us as guys, because it doesn't start one day when we get married. I was going to say it earlier with an immoral wife. The reality is, if someone doesn't value the sanctity of the marriage bed before marriage, they're not spiritually, supernaturally, magically going to do it after marriage. This ring on my finger is not like a magic device. That before I married, my eyes are all over the place and I'm interested in every woman. And then I say, I do, and I put on the ring, and all of a sudden my character changes and now I've only got eyes for one woman. If I didn't have it beforehand, I'm not going to have it now. If I don't value the holiness of covenant before the covenant, I'm not going to value it in the covenant. Obviously, the one time that can change is if I get saved. If I'm an unbeliever and I get saved. One of the reasons why an immoral woman is always going to let you down, because she's an immoral woman. And unless she gets saved, she's going to remain an immoral woman. Doesn't matter how nice she is or how nicely she flatters her eyelids at you. McEwen. Wink, wink. Not that she's in any way an immoral woman. So what are the things that a man wants? What does a guy want in his wife? A godly man, by assumption, obviously. The first one, a woman who fears the Lord. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The first thing that a guy should look for in a woman is a woman who is committed to the purposes of God. A woman who loves Jesus with everything inside of her. Janetta spoke last night about not being unequally yoked. Not being with an immoral and ungodly person, but with somebody not who is righteous, but who has been made righteous in Christ. Because none of us can be righteous by ourselves. So the first thing that a godly guy, the first thing he should be looking for, is she passionate about Jesus? If she's not, she may, whatever may appeal to me, I'm not going to let my heart go out to her. It doesn't mean she's not my wife, it just means I'm definitely not, and she's definitely not in a relationship, whichever way it works, to go with that person now. Until God does a miracle in their life, I can't budge. I have to protect my heart and keep my heart closed. So what does a guy want? A woman, first and foremost, who fears the Lord, is committed to the purposes of God. One of the worst things a woman can do to a guy is to place the guy in the position of God. A girl who wants her guy to be everything is doing her guy the biggest possible disservice, because he can't be her everything. It's cool at the beginning for the guy to think, I'm this girl's whole world, until he realizes a little bit later, but I can't be her whole world because I don't have inside of me to satisfy her whole world. Only God can do that. A woman who is whole and who is complete. A woman who's come into a relationship with Jesus and received some restoration. Because a guy, honestly, I'm going to speak straight somewhere tonight. A guy doesn't want your issues. And he doesn't want to have to sort out your issues. Yes, you're going to have stuff and you're going to have to speak to him about it and share with him and he'll want to listen. But he can't fix you in the same way that you can't change him. You need to come to a place where you surrender and find your wholeness in Christ. And out of the overflow, what I said at the beginning, you in the position to be the best possible boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, to the other party. The first thing we need to do is, Scripture says, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The second one that Scripture holds before us, in no particular order, is just sort of as I read through the Scriptures. The first one is in order, but the ones that follow after that aren't in a particular order. A quiet and a gentle spirit. Rather, he's speaking about you. Don't be your beauty only be outwards. Rather, let it be in the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. If it's very precious in the sight of God, then I can promise you it's going to be very precious in the sight of a person with the heart after God. If God's pouring His heart and shaping us to become Christ-like, then what's beautiful for God should be beautiful for us. And I know in my life, the most attractive women are the women who have a gentle and quiet spirit. That doesn't mean their mouths don't go like this. Some of them still do, and they're loud people, but there's a quietness in their spirit. There's a gentleness in their spirit. They've made peace with who they are in Christ. They've come to a place of wholeness. They've got nothing to prove. They're okay being quiet if they need to be quiet, which is a miracle amongst the girl. Okay? They're secure in their identity. They're not trying to prove something to you, because they've come to the place where they're okay without the boyfriend because they're whole in Christ. And God comes and He's made you whole, and then He adds two whole people together. I spoke about that a couple of years ago. I really want to encourage you, get that CD. A couple of years ago, I was on a missions trip with a girl. Some of you will remember, and her thing was she was hard ass. She was moeilik. She was contentious and difficult. And her thing, she'd been through a lot of pain in life and hurt a lot. And her thing was she was a hot house. And at the end of the mission, we just kind of sat together in a group. We said, what is the one thing you really want God to do in your life leaving from here? And she just said, she doesn't want to be so hot house anymore. She realized there was a place where she needed to step away from this big shield of protection she'd put on and allow herself to become a girl again, to be feminine, to be soft, to be gentle, to be vulnerable. She's engaged now. God changed her heart a lot. Luckily, she's got a fiance with a who's also a bit hard-headed. So, like a cop stump. You're studying for a big test tomorrow. Very precious in the sight of God is a soft heart, a soft spirit, a gentle spirit. That speaks about being able to be vulnerable. Girls, a guy wants someone who he can put his arm around and he can feel he's protecting you. He wants somebody who he feels, I can be her hero. Freda, a couple of years ago, told us the story of when him and Lucille, and they won't mind me sharing this because they've shared it a couple of times, when they started going out, at one stage she was like, but you never give me any hugs. So he said, you know, it's hard hugging a porcupine. And that's what the Scripture is speaking about here. A place where a woman embraces her femininity. She embraces her vulnerability. It doesn't mean that she isn't doing out there stuff and busy and doing crazy things. It just means she's embraced a place of tenderness in her heart. And she allows not every guy. Please don't do that. Scripture says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring forth the issues of life. Hold your heart close to your chest, but allow when there is a guy who's won your heart, he's winning your trust, allow him that place to experience you in that place of vulnerability. Allow him to feel like he's your guy. Allow him to feel that you don't just want to sit there and be emotional all night long, but you actually just want a guy to be the hero on the white horse that Janetta was speaking about last night. that place of tenderness and vulnerability. You know, which movie was it? Cute and Cuddly thingy? Madagascar. What then was it? With the penguins. One of them. Cute and Cuddly. Cute and Cuddly. You know? Cute and Cuddly is very attractive to a guy. So come to that place where Scripture says you've got a quiet and a gentle spirit. Allow yourself to be a girl. Maybe I'm going to say this a little bit stronger. At the beginning, I said, guys be guys. Do you guys remember that? I said, she doesn't want the super emotional good friend. She wants a guy. You remember I said that? Okay, now the flip side is, girls be a girl. Allow yourself to be a girl. From time to time, go buy some bubble bath and sit in a bath with all the Epsom salts and the candles. Bath salts, whatever. I know what they look like when I buy them. But allow yourself to be a girl, to be feminine. Because as you embrace your femininity, you will allow the guys and the guy specifically in your life to embrace his masculinity. It's very hard for a guy to be a man if a woman won't be a woman. Okay. The third one, we've spoken about this a little bit, is purity. Verse 2, it says, when they observe your chaste conduct. Chaste just means they're not immoral. Not flirtatious. Girls, a guy who wants cheap sex isn't the guy you want to marry. Because if he can get cheap sex from you, then he'll want cheap sex from someone else as well. Cheap sex isn't going to get you very far, and it's not going to last long. It really isn't. This is the one area in life, sexually, where innocence and inexperience is good. Where when you come together for the first time on your marriage night, the two of you are both equally clueless. I asked on Sunday, I'll ask again. I'm trying to think which way around to ask it. Let's ask the girls first and which way around to ask. Girls, how many of you want to marry a guy who's a virgin on the first night? In other words, how many of you don't want to marry the guy who's been sleeping around? Most of us. Let me make it a little bit harder. Guys, how many of you want to marry a girl who's been sleeping around so that when it comes on the marriage night, she knows what she's doing? We laugh about it. We laugh about it. But FHM and Cosmo hold that before us as the standard. I've heard so many people say that, but don't you want to be experienced for your wife one day? No. And I don't want her to be experienced either. Because with that, apart from the baggage and everything it brings, she's mine. I don't want something that somebody else is. You know, my wife was speaking to a student, scholars the other day because she's in a special school, so sometimes she has to explain things really nice to the kids. And she took a piece of bubble gum. She was chewing the piece of bubble gum. And she took it out. And she went to the first kid. She says, yeah, have my bubble gum. And they were like, no, I don't want it. And she, who wants my chewing piece of bubble gum? And she says, you know, that's exactly what it is when we sleep around. It's got a nice feeling, you know, it sounds all good and sound nice. But nobody wants something at second. No one wants seconds, you know. No one wants. Having said that, if you are here, and I know many of you are or have been sexually active, so much as we hate to admit it, a lot of us are, even in church, there are a lot of people who are sexually active, unmarried people. The married people, fortunately, are sexually active too. God can restore. I've got a very good friend who was, in her day, she was Miss Namibia, went to Miss World, all of that, was sexually active, lived quite a promiscuous life. Got saved and prayed and really just trusted God to restore her. She went to the gynecologist. She met a really great guy. Just before they got married, she went to the gynecologist just for the checkup that you do before you get married and everything. And the gynecologist looked at her and said, "Oh, I can see you're a virgin." And she was like, "No." And he's, "No." "No, physically, you are completely, there is absolutely no physical damage here whatsoever. You are physically still a virgin." God had not only healed her heart and her mind and her spirit, but it physically healed her body too. And I know of a couple of people who've experienced that. And I want to say to you girls, if you are here, and guys, the same thing. If you are here, don't believe the lie, "Well, I've started, I might as well carry on." Stop tonight. Go home and say, "God, I've messed up, but thank you that you are still able to restore. That you are still able to heal. You are still able to make whole. And God, you've got so much more for me than this worldly, carnal, immoral thing that I've embraced." And a guy, I want to say this as well, a guy who wants an immoral woman or an impure woman or a woman who wants an impure guy, do you know what they need? They need to get saved. And I'm not saying that lightly. Because they haven't come to an understanding of the heart of God and the purposes of God. They haven't come to that revelation of the holiness and the purity of God, and they just need an encounter with Jesus. So if that's you, we want to pray for you afterwards. Please, not to condemn you, but just to bring some healing in this area. And tomorrow night, we're going to be speaking a little bit about this area as well. Then the fourth one, because this is the other one I think a lot of you girls are wondering about. What does a guy want? Well, what about the outward appearance? In Proverbs 31, verse 22, it says, "She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple." Verse 30, it says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing." Do not let, in 1 Peter, it said, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel." I want to start with the last verse there. Do not let it be merely outward. There's nothing wrong with dressing nicely. We're going to get to that now. There's nothing wrong with putting on earrings and doing the stuff to be nice on the outside. But that is never going to cover up for a hole in the ugliness on the inside. If the beauty isn't first the quiet and peaceable spirit, the gentle spirit on the inside, all the makeup on the outside, a godly man is going to see straight through that. He's going to see the brokenness, and you can try your hardest, gym as much as you want, but that connection that he's going to see in a quiet and a peaceable spirit isn't going to be there. Girls, you can take a sigh of relief. The guy is not looking for a supermodel. The guy who is only looking for a supermodel must get saved because he hasn't come to an understanding. I'm saying that seriously, and I just want to bring for those who are here on Monday, I just want to bring a little bit of balance. Anton spoke a lot about the physical side, and yes, there must be physical attraction. But the great thing is beauty is truly in the eye of the beholder. If I was to pass around a list here to all the guys and I'd say, "Write down for me what is beautiful for you," they're going to each write down something different. Because God has made everything beautiful in its time, and every girl beautiful in her way. And a guy a guy who's just looking for the supermodel, he really must get saved. He really must come to a place where he understands and he meets Jesus, first of all. And Jesus will begin to reveal to him that Scripture says, charm is deceitful, so guys, beware of charm, we spoke about that. And beauty is passing. You know, if you go and you look, get FHM or one of those magazines, please no, actually don't. Just ignore that I said that. But if you happen to find a list where it's got the 10 most beautiful women in the world, if you go look at 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, it's not the same woman on the list. Because she was pretty last year, but she's so last year. You know, I've seen enough of her in a bikini or whatever for the guys who are drawing up those lists. The beauty is passing. And not only is the beauty passing, but the beauty is passing also because reality is she's getting older. And girls make a peace with that, that you are going to get older. And guys make a peace with that she is going to get older. And when she gets older, things change. And if you married her, or you liked her for the looks, then you are going to want to upgrade to a new model. But if you understand what Anton was speaking about on Monday evening, that there's something else at play here other than physical appearance, she's going to get more and more and more beautiful. Because you understand that beauty has got nothing to do with physical appearance. A guy is hopefully not looking for a supermodel. If he is looking for a supermodel, pray for him to get saved. The carnal mind is not the mind of Christ. What does a guy want in terms of outward appearance? He wants a woman who values herself enough to look after herself. A woman who places enough worth on herself to say, I'm going to make an effort with my appearance. I'm going to do as far as I physically can with finances and resources at my disposal to try and look good. To not just sit on the couch and eat chocolates all day long and see how quickly I can fill up the couch. Not because, and I want to say this clearly, not because the guy is put off by her body shape, but he is put off by what it says about her heart, about how much she values herself. And why on earth should I value somebody who doesn't even care enough to value themselves? That's what's going on in a guy's mind. He's not looking for the supermodel. He's not looking for the next cover girl. But he is looking for the girl who values herself enough. Who says, what's the end, vanagoed? Is it because I'm worth it? Which one is that? L'Oreal. Some of you girls must get some more L'Oreal. Huh? The first one, what does a guy want? A guy, Yanetta spoke about this. A guy dearly, dearly, dearly wants your respect. Proverbs 31 verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. 1 Peter 3 says, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Ephesians 5 verse 33 says, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Not only does the wife demonstrate respect to the husband, she causes respect to come to the husband too. That's what Proverbs 31 is telling us. That this guy, because he is married to this woman, who is such an incredible woman, when he goes and he moves in and he sits amongst the elders, they respect him because they see the conduct of his wife. She brings him respect. A guy thrives on respect. And girls, you don't, maybe if you don't know it yet, you're drawn to a guy who is respectable. How do I know that? Because if you just rewind, like last year for some of you, for some of us a little bit longer, do you remember when you were at school? Who were all the girls crazy about? The head boy? One of two people, one of three people. The head boy, the first team rugby captain, or the fly-half? Is it because he's got such a special godly character? Is it because he's the most amazing guy in the school? No, she's drawn to respect. It's built inside of her heart. She's drawn to the guy because she wants to give respect, so she's drawn to give to the guy respect. When I was at school, I couldn't believe it because all these girls are drawn to this guy, but he's the biggest pig. And he treats them all like dirt. Normally they do at that stage in life. But still the girls keep being drawn to him. And it's one after the other, like a bowling alley, going through all the girls. Because he can do no wrong. They're drawn to this respect. Girls, it's placed inside of you to want to respect somebody. And that's what Danetta was trying to bring across to the guys last night. Guys, live in a way so that the girl wants to respect you. Be respectable in your conduct, in your life, in the way you go about your living. And she'll be drawn to that. What else does a guy want? A guy wants a woman who speaks life. On her tongue is the law of kindness. When she speaks kindness and grace flow out. The last thing a guy wants is a girl who every time they come together, she's in his ear about how bad her day was and how dark it is and how difficult life is and how the whole world's falling apart and how she's never going to make it and how she's too fat and how she's going to commit suicide. It's a twisted guy who gets drawn to that because it's a guy who has a need to feel important in her life and to try and fix her. That's the guy who's drawn to that. A whole guy looks at that and says, uh-uh. I want a woman who's bubbling. She's speaking life. When her mouth opens, there's kindness and joy flowing from it. Ladies, later on, when you're a wife and you're in a home and the children come, you're going to be the atmosphere in the house. No guy wants to come home after a hard day at work, walk through the door, and it's so dark. He wants to arrive there and have a bubbly, life-giving wife, full of jokes, speaking kindness. So some of you need to start placing a guard in front of your mouth and asking your friends, help me. Just slap me when I say something down. Yes, there are times when we are down, but Scripture says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love of it will eat its fruits. Ask your friends and say, help me to begin to speak life. It doesn't mean everything's always going right. When it goes wrong, yes, let's sit and let's talk about it and let's pray through it. Let's be realistic about the situation, but let's not always be confessing all this negative stuff. Nobody likes being around negative people. We like being around bubbly, fun, I do, friendly, laughing people. The seventh one that we see in the scriptures there. Are you girls learning something tonight? Guys, are you challenged a little bit too? A little bit. I hope so. The seventh one that a guy wants and should want in a woman is an industrious woman. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. One of the most amazing sermons I ever heard about relationships was probably close on 10 years ago. We were in a school hall. I was a student. It was in the middle of exams. Everyone was meant to be studying. And Fred was preaching. And he preached for about an hour and 20 minutes. And he realized he's still got way much more to preach. And I think the service started at 6. And it was probably about 8:30 by now. And he said, listen, people, I've got to wait. Let's carry on next week. And everyone was, no. Finished the night. So he finished and he carried on preaching until about 10 o'clock that night. And everyone just sat there riveted and no one wanted to leave. And sort of the thread that he was speaking about was Isaac, who wanted to get married. He didn't really want to get married. His dad wanted him to get married. So his dad sent his slave to go and fetch a woman, to go look for a suitable person. And they find Rebecca and they bring Rebecca and the whole story. But the way how the slave knew this was the right woman, the test he had for her, and Hania spoke a little bit about it on one of the CDs. It's crazy. They've been walking through the desert for a couple of days. They get to a well. She's drawing water. And he says, draw water for my camels. He's got 12 camels. They each drink about 100 liters. She sits there by herself. Because Scripture says, he went and sat and watched. The slave who went on behalf of Isaac to find a suitable woman had a couple of questions, but one big question was in his heart. Is this a lazy woman? What is the test? Well, are you willing by hand out of a well to draw 1,200 liters of water to feed my camels? That's the test he held before her. Scripture says here, where we're in Proverbs 31, she does not eat the bread of idleness. Guys, watch out for this. Laziness is not cool. I'm not talking about a girl who from time to time switches off and just has fun and, you know, takes a healthy break. But a girl who's afraid of just getting busy. Because later on, she's going to be your wife. She's going to be living in the same house with you and you don't want a lazy wife. In the same way as woman, you don't want a lazy husband. Al Bundy style. It doesn't work. Is she willing to work? Is she afraid of work? Or is she willing to do what needs to be done to get the job done? An eighth one, Proverbs 31 verse 16, she considers a field and she buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. A woman who's financially disciplined. This may seem like a little bit of an airy-fairy one, but guys, I promise you, apart from immorality, the biggest cause of relational breakup is finance. Maybe you've seen it in some of your parents, but now is a brilliant time for the ladies and for the guys to learn to be financially disciplined. You don't necessarily have to be good with money, but just know not to always spend your money. Don't have every time you get money, have it burn a hole in your pockets. Learn to exercise discipline. Yes, those shoes are there. I really, really like the shoes. I'm going to look at the shoes every day. I walk past them to class every day, but I'm not going to buy them. Foreign concept, am I right? Girls, one of the things a guy wants and should want is a woman who's financially disciplined. Right? A woman who one day, he doesn't have to every day pull the bank accounts just to see what has my wife done today. This passage started with his heart safely trusts her. And that will include finances. She's not going to make a mess up of the money. I can trust her, I can give her the credit cards, do what she needs to do, because she's learned discipline financially. The ninth one, Proverbs 31 verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. And this is much easier for girls, and most girls just have this naturally, but just compassion. Just a willingness to help. And the girls by nature are far more motherly. But a guy wants a compassionate lady. Because if she's compassionate to other people, she's hopefully going to be compassionate to him and he's going to need it. And compassionate to the children. Willing to extend grace. Willing to extend kindness. To say, here, let me help you. Let me pick you up off the street. This one, my wife got really right. We've got two cats in our house. The first cat, as I said, she's an occupational therapist at a school. And there are a whole bunch of stray cats on the school premises. And one day, just before we got married, the kids came running with these little baby kittens they picked up on the yard somewhere. And my wife looked at this kitten and she's like, oh, it's so nice, it's so cute. Can't take it to SPCA. So she took the cat home. And that was our first little black ninja cat. And then, almost exactly a year later, I get this MMS from her. And it's a picture of these tiny little cats that the kids brought her to class. And she says, these cats are so cute and so nice, but I'm going to take them to the SPCA. And I said, yo, I know the truth here. So she takes them to the SPCA, and I get home that night, and she took all of them except one to the SPCA. Because that cat was just too cute. Girls are just naturally compassionate. Just compassionate to everything, and maybe my wife is special in that regard, but I think most girls are naturally compassionate. So just embrace that and allow yourselves to be compassionate. And we see it easily. Every time you go to an orphanage, when you go to any welfare institution, for every one guy, there are nine women involved. Because their heart is just towards being compassionate to the needy. And then the tenth one, and this is a really important one, intelligence. Proverbs 31 verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. The message says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful face on an empty head. The This intelligence here isn't speaking about, he's not speaking about the number of A's you got in matric and, you know, are you getting 85% for all your subject at varsity? It's not that type of intelligence. It's just, can I converse with this woman? Can I talk to her? Does all that come out of her mouth, is all that comes out of her mouth, you know, shoes and fashion and Gucci and magazines? Or can we actually sit down and just have an intelligent conversation? Is there actually, you know, something going on between the ears? And girls, the same goes for you when it comes to guys. Doesn't matter how hunky and how nice he is. Has he got something inside of here? You know? Can you converse with him? Is there a level of emotional and relational intelligence? That's important. If you don't know what that is, or you know you don't have it, go to your small group and say, people, pray for me. I need to learn to make friends because I'm just awkward. And if I'm going to make a boyfriend or a girlfriend, then I need to make friends. So help me to learn to make friends. When I say stupid stuff, tell me that was stupid. When you can see I'm about to say something stupid, just put your hand in front of my mouth. You know? Help me out here because I need some help in this area. And then, just the last one before we close. Don't have a specific scripture relating to it, but just to help some of you girls a little bit. A guy needs space. And it's important that you ladies hear this. Sometimes when a guy doesn't want to speak to you, it's not an issue with you. He's got no problem with you. He just needs a bit of space. That's the way we work. That's the way we built. Let me give you a beautiful example. We were at a relationship seminar a while ago, and the guy gave us a really cool story. He said, guys, what's the word he used to describe for the guys? He said, we can consume. So stuff happens to us and we work through it. We consume it. It goes into our body and it gets digested and then it sort of vaporizes. Girls, their dustbin doesn't get consumed. They've got their dustbin and all the trash in the day gets in, and then it's all in the dustbin. And then you wait till you see the guy again, and then you dump it all on him. And then you empty your dustbin onto him, and then he sort of consumes and digests it. And then you're both happy because all the rubbish is gone. So Yaneta knows now. Some days when I come home, and I'll say then she's had a rough day or a terrible day or whatever, and she just wants to take her big, heaped up dustbin and just go, on me. And I just said, Ninoni, just give me half an hour. Just give me just a bit of time just to digest my stuff, because right now, with all my stuff, I don't have capacity for your stuff as well. I'm going to pop if you bring that your stuff too now. And she knows and she's comfortable with it because she understands. I'm not rejecting her. It's not that I'm not interested in how her day was. Just right now, I don't have capacity for her day. Because I've got my own stuff just to work through, busy day at work, whatever it was. Just let me read some news or just put on some sports highlights or go for a walk or just work through my stuff. And then I'm going to come back and then we're going to work it. Then you empty your dustbin. Bring it all on. Just empty it on me. Maak leeg, skit hom, make sure it's empty, and then we can have a great chat and a good time together. So girls know that when the guy says, I need a guy's night, or obviously a godly guy's night, we're not talking about nonsense. He's not rejecting you. He's not saying, I've had enough of you. He's not saying, get out of my life, I don't want you anymore. Don't feel rejected at all. Just withdraw a little bit. Have the respect demonstrate the respect towards him, just as he's going to demonstrate the love to you to take your dustbin and digest all of it. Just give him a bit of room sometimes. Okay, us guys, we need that too. Like you need me time sometimes, sometimes we need me time as well. And that is that for tonight. Any questions? Any questions that someone wanted to ask tonight still, before we close? Yes. Sorry, can we just get it a little softer so I can hear? Very good question. The question is, I said you must be industrious. Where do we draw the line between being industrious and successful and relying on him as well? First and foremost, industrious just means willing to work. That's what industrious means. It doesn't mean that you have to be a successful businesswoman. It just means you must be willing to work. If that means you're also a successful businesswoman, that's great. What it comes in is an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of the heart saying, I choose to place my hope and my trust and my faith in you. Even if I'm earning a bigger salary than you, I'm not looking to the salary. I'm not now thinking that I'm the leader of the house. In other words, I'm still going to respect you. So yes, I'm bringing in a big fat salary, if that may be the case. But you still make the decision. You still give the direction. You still give the leading. Because maybe at work I'm the big head honcho and you're the CEO or whatever it may be, but when I come home, I'm the helper. When I come home, I am the one alongside encouraging, ensuring that my husband is becoming all that he must become, causing respect to flow to him. Does that help to answer your question? Okay. Any other questions for tonight? Nothing. Okay. If you have questions for tomorrow night, anything about relationships, obviously you want to ask them anonymously in that case, then you can drop them in the box on the way out. And then tomorrow evening, we're in the Sanlam Hall. Now, Tian drew a picture here. Or Warren, some engineer, because last night we had a woman try and explain. And some women are gifted, but most women don't do directions very well. And yesterday was one of them. Stefan Andir. Did you find it? Okay. But tomorrow evening we're in the Sanlam Auditorium, which if I understand this question correct, is if we go left down the stairs, we're in the foyer of the IT building, we walk out, in other words, away from Linwood Drive, and then there's some sort of bridge we go over, and then the Sanlam Hall is in the far corner of the next building. Something to that effect. Okay, but Mr. Stefaniel, if you don't know, ask someone around you who does know. Okay, just before everyone runs out, let's just pray. And then we'll end off the session. Father, I want to thank you for just the privilege of being able to share this evening. God, thank you for what you're stirring in the hearts of the men and the women here, Lord God. Your dream, your desire, your purpose, your hope in their lives, God. Lord, I pray that this evening what they will take away from this is your word, God. Lord, that you will wash away and strip away every opinion of mine, every thought of mine, every idea of mine. But Lord, that your word and your purposes will endure in their hearts, God. Lord, I pray for those who've maybe been challenged to grow in an area tonight. Lord, that they would bring those things before you in prayer and that they would grow in those areas, God. Lord, that they would not harden their heart, Lord, but they would allow you to shape them according to your purpose, Lord. And God, thank you that I can just prophesy life over every marriage and future marriage represented here, God. Thank you, God, that the men will be awesome husbands to their wives. The wives, Lord God, will be incredible, loving, gracious women, Lord God. Proverbs 31 women, every one of them, Lord God. And thank you for the beauty, Lord God, that you give them, that is outward, Lord, as well as inward. And I pray, God, for those gentle and quiet spirits, Lord, just to continue to grow and to flourish in their relationship with you in Jesus' name. Amen.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. You.